Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Ranieri. We preview every single game on the NFL Sunday slate for week number 10 and the start of the second half of this NFL season. I believe Joe will be back with us here in just a matter of moments. Anyway, as we get you set for this upcoming Sunday, it's the start of the second half that is now underway as of last night. An instant classic in Baltimore. We hope to see more of the same here moving forward. And of course, at the midway point of this NFL season, there is only one undefeated team that remains. It's the team that has won two consecutive Lombardi trophies. That is the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, this has been a fun Football Friday to start off each of our 2 hours to begin. The opening hour, chaotic, and here we are in hour number two. Anyway, let's talk about the Chiefs, right? Perfect 8-0 to begin this season. Some have pointed to the lack of victory margin being overwhelmingly impressive. 6 of the 8 wins decided by a single score, a victory margin somewhere around a touchdown for the Chiefs in their opening half of this year. And here we are again with another touchdown spread plus in favor of Kansas City as they host the Denver Broncos in a divisional duel on Sunday in Arrowhead. Joe Ranieri back with us here on the Early Line. All right, Joe. So as we look at this game, KC 7.5-point favorite against the Broncos. If there has been one blemish, if you will, one hiccup on the resume of a perfect, undefeated, two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs team, it's been their inability, Joe, to blow teams out. Might it happen on Sunday at home in KC, Mo, against the Broncos?
We talked about it last week, though, Ben, right? At some point, this Kansas City Chiefs team is going to regress, and they're not going to win all of these one-score games. They have been in far too many of them. They haven't lost any of them. And we just talked about the opposite last hour. The Cincinnati Bengals can't seem to win a one-score game. They are 0-5 when dealing with 6 points or less as a final. And yet, Kansas City has gotten all the breaks in a lot of those games, including, Ben, a pass interference call that ended up giving the win over those Cincinnati Bengals. So I do think at some point there are going to be a couple of games in which the ball's not going to bounce towards Kansas City. Now, could this be one of them? Well, the Denver defense is going to have a big say if that's going to be the case. But judging from what I saw with that defense last game in Kansas City against Tampa, there are some there was some head-scratching defense being played in that game against Tampa. I'm wondering if the running game of Denver can take advantage of it.
And, Joe, that was a big key, right? When Kansas City took that touchdown lead on the second TD pass to DeAndre Hopkins on Monday night, they're up by 7 in the fourth quarter. They had an opportunity for the offense to pick up a couple of first downs, move the chains, and drain the clock. Unable to do that, gave the football back to Baker Mayfield with just over 2 minutes left. And, of course, a very shorthanded offensive display for the Buccaneers. He drove the length of the field, or at least over 70 yards, and scored a touchdown to send that game into OT. The Chiefs did win. The average margin of victory, Joe, is exactly a touchdown. 7.0 points per game for Kansas City. The Chiefs have now been a favorite of 6 points or greater four times this year. Of course, they've won every game, but they're just 1-3 against the spread. And the one cover came back in the opening month of this year against the very shorthanded Chargers, where Justin Herbert was hobbled and playing without each of his two starting tackles, and yet KC was a 6.5-point favorite and won that game by only a touchdown, having to score late to do that. It has not been overwhelmingly impressive, and yet here we are, the Kansas City Chiefs, the two-time reigning champs who have won three Lombardi trophies in the last 5 years, are the lone undefeated team in the NFL at a perfect 8-0. Now, meanwhile, for the Broncos, last week they got blown out in Baltimore, 41-10, came nowhere close to even keeping it competitive as a 9.5-point underdog. The Broncos are 3-3 against the number as a dog this year. They're a perfect 3-0 ATS when they have been booked as a favorite against a bad team on the other side. But Joe, entering last week, I missed the teaser leg of our component, of course, that we'll do in the pick six, because I thought Denver's defense would at least keep them in a game. They had no answer for Lamar Jackson. It was the first time the Broncos have been booked as a 6-point favorite or greater this year and have failed to cover a number. 3-1 ATS. So let's talk about Kansas City, right? Because they are 8-0. They've got 9 games on the horizon in the second half. They have already had their bye. We had the conversation after Monday night. A plus 850 number is now 8-1 to go perfect unbeaten 17-0. That is a very large threshold to cross. But Joe, as you look at Kansas City, how much longer do you expect KC to stay perfect?
Again, not much longer. We also saw, we should mention, right, a bit of an ankle issue there with Mahomes now, which might make him a little less mobile on a short week in this game against Denver. So listen, and Mahomes and Andy Reid and this team has no interest in running the table and sacrificing everything to go undefeated. So make no mistake about it. They understand it's a marathon and not a sprint, especially this team. So I do think there's going to be a couple of letdown games, a couple of games where it's not going to work out. But I still think they're going to win the AFC West. I still think they're going to be in the AFC Championship game, Ben. We're not stupid enough to bet against them long term. We tried that for over a decade with Tom Brady and the Patriots, and how did that work out? So I don't see any reason to think that they won't be representing the AFC in the AFC Championship game with a chance to win a third straight Super Bowl.
For sure, Joe. I would have to agree with you when it comes to that as well. Because, again, when you look at Kansas City and how this team has been constructed in the six seasons with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback, for the first five, it was all offense and a defense that would improve throughout the course of a season when it mattered most. Last year, the offense was middle of the pack, and it was the defense that was elite. And yes, they were a little bit questionable on Monday night against the shorthanded Buccaneers, but are still the fourth best scoring defense in the NFL, allowing a tick over 18 points per game. And when the Broncos have struggled, it's been because of an offense that is still learning with a young rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. I do believe the Chiefs will win this game. They will stay unbeaten, setting up a huge week 11 game in Buffalo, where the odds as of now actually have KC as a very slight underdog in Western New York. The Bills currently are 7-2, and more than likely are going to be 8-2 when this week comes to a close. Buffalo more than a field goal favorite, Joe, in Indianapolis. 47.5 is that total. Again, huge game on the horizon for both the Chiefs and the Bills, week 11 against one another in Orchard Park. Before that, though, Joe, will Buffalo cruise in Indy on Sunday?
I wouldn't be running to the window to back Buffalo. I mean, there's no doubt, Ben, they have been a bit of a juggernaut here. They seem to drop 30 or more points like nobody's business. In fact, they've scored at least 30 points in each of their last three games. But at some point, we all know Buffalo is good for a letdown game. And this, I think, has the markings of just that, a letdown game, especially with Kansas City on deck. And I don't think the Colts are as bad as the 4-5 record says they may be. I do think that a bounce back could be in it for Indy this week.
Well, they don't think they are as bad as a team sub 500. It was the reason they made the change from Anthony Richardson to Joe Flacco, not just for last week in Minnesota, but the remainder of this year. Indianapolis believes it is a playoff team. Joe, entering last week, the Colts were 7-1 against the spread, a perfect 5-0 ATS as a dog. Now make that 5-1 against the number. Here's my thing. Let Joe Flacco go. 27 attempts for $179 and a pick last week. That's not why you inserted the near 40-year-old veteran. Let him rip. I would agree. It feels like a short spread and perhaps a little bit trappy for Buffalo. More from the Sunday slate. Comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For the first time in the 2024 NFL season, Christian McCaffrey will grace the field for the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, was dealing with Achilles tendonitis in both of his legs. That just sounds painful and bad. He missed the opening 8 games of the year for San Francisco, but after the bye for the 49ers, he is back at practice, and Kyle Shanahan telling reporters yesterday that CMC is back, expected to make his season debut Sunday in Florida against the Buccaneers. Joe, the line earlier this week was 5.5 in favor of San Francisco. Updated on this Football Friday morning, it is now 6.5 in favor of the Niners. Running backs do not often move the market at all, long-term or short-term, on a week-to-week basis in terms of a spread. Christian McCaffrey might be the only one that would move the spread a point. It is 6.5 now in favor of the 49ers. 50 and a hook is that total in Tampa. How do you see the game playing out between the 49ers and the Buccaneers?
Not good for Tampa, I'll tell you that. Just thinking, but again, look at the injury reports. For the first time this season, Ben, I do think the Niners are about as healthy as they have been, right, including the ability to be able to get Christian McCaffrey back to make his season debut. Now, this is, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, the only thing is that this is going to be a early start for a West Coast team if you buy into something along those lines. However, I do think that they are going to get right. And we've seen this from the 49ers, right? This is a team that in the second half of seasons usually kicks it into another gear to the tune of an NFL best 23-4 in the second half of the season. That is weeks 10 through 18 since 2021. They get right, they get healthy, they figure it out, and then from week 10 on, they cruise. And unfortunately, I would love to have seen Tampa have their full complement, but even Baker Mayfield is on the questionable list as he is banged up beyond all heck too. So what happens if Kyle Trask has got to be the quarterback? This 5.5 feels like a gift if that's the case. So I just think it's going to be a whole lot of 49ers, and it's unfortunate for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
28 games for San Francisco, including Super Bowl 58 since the start of last year that the 49ers have been favored in every one. They are only 4-4 straight up this year and even 500 by the time they entered the bye and now the second half of this season. That is nowhere close to expectation for San Francisco. And yet, Joe, they have covered in all 4 games this year. They have gone over in all 4 wins they have had this season. And if you look at last year, after the bye for the 49ers, in a similar spot of the season, they had dropped 3 straight entering the bye after a perfect 5-0 start. They came out of the bye week 10, also in Florida, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. So at that time, we're not the Jags of a 2-win team this year, but we're in pole position to win the AFC South and blitzed the Jaguars 34-3 on their way to winning 6 consecutive games with a healthy Christian McCaffrey. I'll talk about how many points I expect the Niners to put up against this banged up Bucs team and a defense that will look to contain a San Francisco offense that, yes, Brandon Ayuk is not going to be here the remainder of this season for the 49ers, but elsewhere they are about as healthy as you might expect. Health is going to be a huge component, Joe, of our next game, Sunday afternoon in Dallas. A great rivalry in the NFC East that lacks a little bit of luster because of the injury bug for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, of course, is going to miss this game and potentially many others and potentially the remainder of this season for the Cowboys, dealing with a severe hamstring injury. But CeeDee Lamb expected to play. Micah Parsons expected to be back for that Dallas defense. That is the second worst scoring defense in the NFL. And yet, Joe, it's a 7-point spread in favor of the Eagles on the road at the Star. It should be easy for the Eagles. Philadelphia has resurrected their season. They have won 4 consecutive games despite their head coach Nick Sirianni trying to get in the way of that. Again, Joe, the theme is it should be easy for the Eagles, but a touchdown favorite on the road in a divisional duel. Just how easy might it be on Sunday at the Star?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, they should, right? But the Eagles should have covered last week, and they found an absolutely ridiculous way not to do so for backers there, Ben. But they should be fired up here to get Dallas. Don't forget, a team that embarrassed them in Dallas last year. Boy, that was embarrassing, that beatdown. But when you look at what, 0 for their last 6, I think, in Big D here. So Dallas, however, yeah, just 2-6 with a -66 scoring differential in 3 home games. Can you believe that? It always with Dallas was the other way around. -66 scoring differential in their home games. This feels like the Saquon Barkley game. That he's going to be able to get what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants here. So you've got an Eagles team that has scored 93 points in their last 3. The offense starting to figure it out. That's not good news for a defense in Dallas that can't stop the run.
A 4-game win streak for Philadelphia, but they have not covered twice. They were a touchdown favorite at least last week against Jacksonville in a game that was very close out of the bye against the Browns. Both of those games, though, at home. They absolutely hammered the Bengals as a short underdog on the road in Cincinnati, hammered the Giants by 25 as well in MetLife. The Cowboys, Joe, had a 16-game regular season home win streak at home in Dallas entering this season. They are 0-3 both straight up and against the number at home this year with an average cover margin of -22.7. That is not good, and they are a hefty, hefty underdog in this game. They were a home dog against the Ravens when the Ravens started 0-2 and needed a game. That game only decided by 3 at the end. It was not even close. Baltimore had a 28-3 lead in that game. Again, it should be comfortable for Philadelphia. And more than likely, we're going to see Cooper Rush, who did have a 4-game win streak back in 2022 to keep the Cowboys' season afloat for the injured Dak Prescott. I just don't see it being the case. If it is, though, some serious questions about the Eagles' overall outlook, the favorites in the NFC East, and now one of those 3 best prices to win the NFC, only behind Detroit and San Francisco. We continue to break down Sunday up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on The Early Line, it's a Football Friday. We preview every game on the Week 10 Sunday slate to start off the second half of this year. An incredibly compelling game, if I do say so myself, in the desert between the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Jets. Again, the Jets did win short week Thursday night last week. They've had this mini bye to get healthy, to recuperate, to get Devontae Adams on the same page with everybody, to let Jeff Ulbrich make his mark on this organization. And so the Jets, Joe, that are still in a large hole trying to make their way into the postseason, find themselves as a slight road favorite in Arizona against a Cardinals team that is the only team currently in the NFC West that has a winning record, riding a 3-game win streak. It is basically a pick 'em. So tell everybody, who wins on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona?
I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but I said it last week and I'll say it again. The Jets will beat Arizona this week. They will have the momentum. They saved the season with that win over the Texans last week, Ben, and we said there was no better spot to buy low in the Jets than that game. It wasn't going to get any lower. Here's your last chance. They ended up pulling it up. Now they've got extra rest, and now we've got a overvalued Arizona team who's riding a high, right? I mean... Two nail-biter wins, and right. Congratulations, you beat the disinterested Bears. I do think the extra time, and you know how this works, Ben. I mean, everything is going wrong until it starts going right, and then you got guys like Aaron Rodgers on extra rest that can finally figure it out. You also have some elite secondary members of this Jets defense that is going to make life a little bit miserable there for the wideouts of Arizona. They're also getting their starting safeties back from injury. You're not going to run on this Jets team. So I would look for the Jets to keep it rolling over. Listen, I like Arizona, but I don't like them in this spot, thinking that they're going to be rolling this team who's got a much better defense than Arizona does and more weapons offensively. So it's the Jets at a ridiculous price.
Again, it's interesting, right? The New York Jets have no room of margin for error, right? We talked about Cincinnati, despite the loss last night and falling to 4-6. Could there be some hope? Maybe. The Jets are kind of in a similar boat if they can get to 4-6 after a victory on the road this week. Nobody is running away with wild card opportunities like in the NFC, in the other conference, that is the AFC. But we continue to expect the New York Jets to win football games. Last week they did against Houston. They have not often this year or since 2021 as a favorite. This will be game 16 as a favorite for the New York Jets in the last 3.5 seasons. They are just 8-7 straight up, 6-8-1 against the number. But this is a couple of cents of distinction on the money line. This is a pick'em price. This is the third time this year, Joe, the Arizona Cardinals have played in a game around a pick'em, a 1.5 spread or less on either side, either a slight favorite or a slight dog. All three have come in the desert, and the Cardinals have won all three. They have won 4 of their last 5, and Chad Ryland, the acquired kicker midway through this season, who was a fourth-round pick last year by New England, has delivered a game-winning field goal as time expires in 3 of the 4. But I kind of lean with you. I don't love it. If you ask me to pick the winner, which is basically what we're doing, I would pick the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers last week did not have to throw the football a ton against the Texans and had all 3 of his passing scores in that second half. 2 of them to Garrett Wilson. Devontae Adams also finding pay dirt for the first time in a Jets uniform. Joe, did they figure something out in those final 30 minutes last Thursday night against the Texans? Or are we still going to see some struggles offensively?
No, listen, I offensively, I think they have figured some things out. And the reality has been the more time you give Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson and this team the ability to get on track. And, you know, that was a huge win against them. And now you've given them extra time to prepare, get a little healthier. To me, this is all about the defenses. There's one team that has an actual defense and one team that doesn't. And I do think that's going to be the difference for the Jets. They'll score enough to win in this game. The Jets' defense will limit Arizona.
Those last 2 wins for the Cardinals at home in slight pick'em price type of games have both stayed under as well. We'll show you an NFC South showdown on the other side of the break, or at least in the final half an hour of this second hour, because a Football Friday is only a Football Friday when Mike Blewett joins the show. He does that up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to a Football Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid as we welcome in Mike Blewett joining us here for the next 3 segments to end out the second hour to get you set for the NFL Week 10 Sunday slate in the second half of this NFL season. Blue, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on TEL.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, a great game to start off the week last night. A tremendous fourth quarter by Lamar. But I think the thing that I'm going to be thinking about the most is a negative for both teams, unfortunately, because as great as the quarterbacks are, Cincinnati's defense collapsed again. And Baltimore is just showing signs of not being able to get stops. They've played to the over 9 times out of their 10 games this year. And as great as Lamar is, the conversation isn't about how that the Ravens are good or not good. The conversation is, can they win a Super Bowl? And with a Kyle Hamilton injury exposing some of the other issues that already existed in the defensive backfield, I think you're going to be wondering about that for the next 10 weeks.
It's got to be over for Cincinnati here, don't you think? I mean, the outlook is not good. The outlook still looks really good for Baltimore, but you got to think Cincinnati. How many more games can you shoot yourself in the foot and expect to make the playoffs here?
Yeah, the when you look at the numbers of the game, without even if you didn't watch it and didn't show you the score, you'd say, well, Cincinnati had to have won, right? They had 7 more first downs. Baltimore had 11 penalties. Joe Burrow had 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Jamar Chase went crazy, but that isn't the case. Timeliness of plays, a key turnover, didn't go their way. I'd like to say that there's hope for Cincinnati because I think we all watch and realize that they're a good team offensively, but they can't get any key stops on defense. And the only thing that keeps the door open, I think, is that when you look at the schedule, it is not murderer's row. Chargers team is beatable. The Steelers are certainly beatable in one of the two games. They have Dallas with Cooper Rush, Tennessee, Cleveland, Denver. Those are all beatable teams. And frankly, if we look at the spreads week by week, assuming that they don't totally fall apart, Cincinnati will be favored in most of those.
Yeah. And if they are an underdog, some of the projected lines entering week number 10 on the road against the Steelers, a slight point perhaps in favor of Pittsburgh. Still the expectation for a road trip in Dallas. That's power ratings, though. We're not exactly sure who will be under center at that point of the year. If it is Cooper Rush, look at what the Eagles are laying in Dallas, 7 points. We'll talk about the Bengals in just a moment. But, Blewett, let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens, who have not been elite defensively at any point this season. Over in 9 of 10 games this year, bottom 10 in terms of scoring defense in the NFL, the best rushing defense in the National Football League, but they're allowing a ton of passing yards. Joe Burrow threw for 428 last night. They entered the week and this second half already is the worst passing defense in the NFL, and they might lose Kyle Hamilton for some time. The question about the Ravens is not a winning football team, not a playoff football team, perhaps not even divisional championship contention. It's that final number, the Super Bowl, and winning an AFC and turning around the narrative of Lamar Jackson's lack of success in the postseason. Given some of the defensive issues, is this Ravens team capable of making a run to an AFC championship?
Capable, yes, but there's a reason they won't be favored right now. You and I have talked a bunch on this show about people still, for some reason, overlooking Kansas City's defense to an extent. The presence of Patrick Mahomes distracts people from the type of team that it is, and we're trying to throw dirt on Travis Kelce and other players who performed really well last week, DeAndre Hopkins being one of them. The thing about the Ravens, too, is that when you look at the rushing defensive rushing stats, I think they're completely false. It's a falsehood to say that, well, the rushing defense is actually pretty good. They've become a pass funnel defense. The most passing yards, the most passing attempts against them in the league, it's because teams know how to attack them. The Steelers have had teams like this in the past as well, where they're excellent defensively, so teams just attack them running the ball, and they rack up a lot of rushing yards. That's what those rushing stats are all about to me, not the prowess of the defensive line.
Did Lamar just, is he playing his way into a third MVP? I guess we have to talk about it, right? I mean, it's unbelievable what he did in that second half, but he keeps doing it. Is there another guy we should consider?
Well, I know Dane Martinez and I had a nice Derrick Henry discussion, but I think Lamar is just going to put that to bed.
It's crazy.
I don't think Derrick Henry can run away with it. He would need to run away with it, and he won't be able to with Lamar on the team. Now, these isolated window games, when you have performances like that, go a long way in award season for people remembering your signature plays. The tiptoe run on the sidelines is going to be one of the plays of the year. He didn't even score, and it's one of the plays of the year. I just think the reality for him is they continue to rack up wins. I think there's a window for Jared Goff if the Lions end up 15-2 and he puts up numbers. Problem is for him, I think the balance of the team impacts the upside of his stats. He could be very accurate, but he's not going to have many Joe Burrow nights like Joe had last night.
Joe Burrow would be in the conversation as well if the Bengals weren't sub 500 at 4-6. Lamar Jackson currently is the favorite to win his second consecutive MVP award. It would be his third hardware in the last six NFL seasons. Just outrageous. Blue, quickly on the Cincinnati Bengals before we look to the rest of the Sunday slate in week number 10. The playoff prices are not on the board right now, but since he did enter the second half as a slight postseason favorite at minus 114. You talked about the relative ease of schedule in the final seven games for Cincy, but there is little to no margin of error. They have to at least win 5 of 7, if not 6 of 7. The updated win total for the Bengals is 8.5 to go over. That would be 5 victories in their final 7 contests. Is Cincinnati, with the defense that we saw struggle mightily last night and allow Baltimore 4 consecutive touchdowns on its final 4 offensive possessions, is Cincinnati a team that can make a playoff run?
Playoff run, I don't see it.
Well,
I have Lou Anarumo. I have faith in him to potentially fix some things. I just think this is a personnel issue. They've lost a couple players over the years, Jesse Bates and other defeaters that got them to the Super Bowl and had them as a perennial playoff team. But I just think that outside of Trey Hendrickson, how many players on that defense are scaring you? They obviously have issues in the defensive backfield. Philly ran all over them. Joe and I watched it. Last night, they collapsed second half. There's just too many instances of them collapsing defensively, especially in the second halves of games. So, yes, I think the door is ajar for them to make a playoff run, because the bottom 6 or 7 seeds in the AFC, that's going to be pretty jumbled when all these divisional games start happening. The Steelers are the extreme example of having all the divisional games, but it is very backloaded in divisional games, and I think teams are going to get knocked off that we might not expect to lose certain games.
The only good thing for Cincinnati is their two most difficult divisional games have already happened. They lost both by a combined 4 points. Joe said this earlier, Blue. If the Bengals do miss out on the postseason, they'll look back on a lot of things. The season opening loss to the New England Patriots and other squandered opportunities, no doubt. But they might look back on these two divisional games against the Ravens where they had a lead late and were unable to seal the deal, both in week 5 at home against the flock and, of course, last night on the road in Baltimore, unable to hold off Lamar Jackson despite a 2-touchdown lead in that third quarter. Blewett is here with us as we run through the rest of the Sunday slate around week number 10 of this NFL season. The second half is now underway. Come back and join us on a Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Football Friday continues live right here on the Early Line. 4 teams on the bye this week around the National Football League. That is the Green Bay Packers, Cleveland Browns, Seattle Seahawks, and the Las Vegas Raiders. So with one game on a Thursday, one more on a Monday, 12-game Sunday slate that starts early, Mike Blewett, internationally. Here is my recommendation. Sleep. It's the weekend. Sleep in. Don't wake up early for this one. And we are sorry to the good people of Germany, because Munich, oh boy, you get to see the Giants and the Panthers on Sunday. New York is a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 40.5. The Panthers have been an underdog in every single game since the start of last season. Blue, the Giants have been an underdog now in, let me do my quick math, 24 consecutive games. This will be the first time as a favorite, and they're laying near a touchdown. If you had to bet it, what would it be? And you can be quick if you want here.
It feels like a hard under game. It's a little odd to have a total like that when a team is laying a touchdown. The Panthers are terrible against the number in the first half. They only cover games if they win. This is what they've done so far this year. They've only covered the games that they've won. It's hard for me to lay a touchdown when I think it's an under game. So I would recommend under and the Giants first half number laying 3.5.
Well, if you think that game's terrible, wait until you get a load of New Orleans taking on Atlanta. So we're no more Dennis Allen. And oftentimes we get the whole, you know, improvement next game after you fired a coach. But they handed a reins to an assistant, Darren Rizzi, who's never coached before. So and quite honestly, who is Carr throwing the ball to here? I don't see how this is anything other than a bloodbath here, Blewett.
In other industries, you would call this the dead cat bounce, right? Everything is done, but maybe you get a little bit of some juice, as you said, the fired coach bounce. The only thing that gives me pause, Joe, is you and I have watched almost every Falcons game together this year, and their games are out of control. Like, what is happening? Special team touchdowns. There's another defensive touchdown. Safeties. So these NFC South games in particular have been some of the wilder ones. But I just have to go with the gut here. Forget divisional home dogs. Maybe the Saints fight for the first half. But as you said, there's no weapons. They'd have to make this a Kamara game, a successful Kamara game. And I have the Saints under on this season. I'm not surprised at all at what has happened here. So yeah, it's kind of hard for me to back the Saints at this point. But the Falcons have been a funky team in terms of covering games.
Yes, they certainly are. The Falcons have won 5 of their last 6. They're the only team in what we expected to be maybe one of the weaker divisions, the NFC South, that is above 500. They are more than a $800 favorite. It's like minus 1,000 now in Atlanta to win the NFC South. It's partly because they are 6-3, and also just because the rest of the division is not very good. The Falcons have covered in their last 4 wins, including 2 on the road against divisional teams, the Bucs and the Panthers, and it's not like the Saints are much better at this moment on a 7-game skid. Blue, we're not entirely sure who is going to start for the Titans at quarterback on Sunday, trending toward Will Levis. Okay, the Chargers more than a touchdown favorite at home in Los Angeles, total 38.5. LA is 5-3. And they have gone under in 7 of 8 games. We know the recipe of success for this Bolts team. How do you see Sunday and SoFi playing out?
Yeah, 9 of the last 10 Chargers to the under. We have a Tennessee team that is 2-8 against the number in their last 10. You know, only covered the 2 games this year. This is another game. The only problem I have with this one, I feel very confident that the Chargers are going to win it. I don't care if Will Levis plays or Mason Rudolph plays or if they both play at the same time. I feel good about the Chargers getting this win. The Chargers play to a lot of unders. We know this. And if you're playing to an under 40, can you lay a touchdown? That's where it gets tricky for this game. Under 38. But my gut here is that the Chargers win this one. Particularly, they are good in the second halves of games. I like J.K. Dobbins overs again. His stats, his props have still, to me, been far too low. They lean on him very heavily. You can even sometimes find live lines. So if the Chargers get off to a slow start, I'd be looking at the Chargers early and Dobbins' numbers early to get his rushing yards over. So I like the Chargers in this game, but I think it's more of a second half number than laying a full touchdown when we don't expect 39 points to be scored.
So is there anything more exciting, Blewett, than the Mac Jones era about to happen in Jacksonville?
I know
this
game.
Is a game you
see. One good game. What am I doing?
I mean,
you're
this
in Germany.
Is a quality
Nobody
game.
Wants to watch that.
Sorry, Blue.
I'm kidding.
Mac Jones in, Trevor Lawrence out. Not that it really makes a darn bit of difference. Are you shocked this number isn't a little bit bigger? I kind of am here, no?
Absolutely. I'm shocked. But it's probably a little bit of the market telling you that they're not high on the Bears. They've won some weird games, Joe, and it's against a soft schedule. It's the thing about the Bears. Their wins weren't really against any good teams. So they're catching another break right here. I just think that the Pats are the type of team. Drake May looks really good early on in terms of a projection of a starting quarterback. But we saw what happened last week. They couldn't get it done against the Titans. Miraculous plays by one player. But ultimately, the turnovers got to them. I do like the Bears in this one. I think you keep it simple. I'm going to lay the 6.5 with the Bears. But that's why I think it's not a bigger spread, Joe. I just think they haven't really beaten any good teams.
Chicago 3-0 at home at Soldier Field, a favorite in all three. They have covered the number in all of those. The reason it's 7 in Duval on Sunday, as Ranieri was alluding to, we don't expect Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones gets the start. It was 4.5 earlier in the week. Now the Vikings laying a full touchdown on the road. Blewett, I promise better games on the horizon, including your Steelers in Landover on Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You asked for the good games on the Sunday slate in week number 10, and here they are. Mike Blewett joins us once again to end out this second hour of a Football Friday. Blue, no more terrible towel in your background. I think that's a mistake. But no more terrible towel behind you, but still your allegiance with the Steelers and thus your breakdown. Never biased, however. Pittsburgh 2.5-point road underdog on the road outside the nation's capital against the Commanders. 6-2 Pittsburgh, 7-2 Washington. Both teams blew in the opening half of this season, so far exceeding expectations that this game really is critical to start off the second half. Total 44 and a hook, highest over under this year for the Steelers in any of their 9 games. What do we see on Sunday in Landover?
So interestingly, as a fan, I was looking towards this beginning of the season for the Steelers before their bye. And I was like, if they can just get to 7-2 or 6-3, that will at least put them in a position with the onslaught of games, divisional games that they're going to have coming up, put them in a good position. So 6-2, I can't really complain about. They've only lost the 2 games by field goals as well. But I think what's fascinating about this matchup is this could conceivably, we've had some really nice wins for both teams, but neither of them have beat a team that currently has high expectations. The Commanders played the Ravens well, but they lost that football game. The Steelers really haven't beat anybody that scares you to date. So this is the first time it's kind of a prove it game for both teams. I think the number makes a ton of sense at 2.5. And 44.5, I think that's where you're at. I think the key here, it's been the key for everybody so far, is the Steelers' defensive line, which is lauded, rightfully so. Can they actually contain Daniels, keep him in the pocket? That's going to be really important because he's been such a playmaker to that effect. And is the Russell Wilson momentum, for all the doubters out there, there's been some positive momentum. Can that continue, and can the Steelers punch it in? Their biggest problem as a team right now, as far as I'm concerned, is their inability to score touchdowns. They get off to these slow starts. Boswell's a good kicker, so they rely on him. But when you have explosive teams that you're playing against, like the Commanders, can the Steelers actually punch the ball in the end zone? I think that's the thing I'm fascinated the most about, the weakness of the Commanders. I think most would agree is their defensive backfield. They have now added Marshawn Lattimore. How quickly does he get infused into the defense to stop opposing offenses. I think this is the best game, really, on the slate. I'm clearly heavily invested in it, but I would lean to the Commanders in this one. Home front, Steelers still have not shown the ability to punch the ball in the end zone enough for me to take them on the road.
Yeah, I like the over, too, believe it or not, there, Blewett. I think points are coming with these two teams. I also think points are coming at least from one team Sunday night with the Texans and Detroit. Mm. I think this is a great prop game if you want to dive into it. But you still have a home team leading their division, getting over a field goal. But why are we stepping in front of the Detroit train right now? Are we?
Hell no. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Amon Ross St. Brown at 65.5 yards. Sam Laporta at 32.5 yards. I know we talked earlier about how Goff does not necessarily have these explosive games, but if you're attacking the Texans right now, wouldn't you try to do it through the air? I think that's the way they come out. That's the best thing about Detroit is that they can beat you in so many different ways. Goff is 25th in the league in passing attempts. We were talking about that earlier. He doesn't have the ability to put that up. But when he has done it, when he has put the ball in the air, it's been very accurate, and they've been explosive when they need to be. So I'm with you, Joe. I think you look at some props, and I'm not stepping in front of Detroit. It's okay to bet into teams until they lose, and I think Detroit is one of those.
Detroit has covered in all seven victories this year, 44-18 against the number with Dan Campbell as the Lions head coach. Blew it quickly here. Let's go to Sunday in Tampa in the last 40 seconds of this segment. Christian McCaffrey makes his season debut, and the Niners are now a 6.5-point favorite against the shorthanded Bucks. Will San Francisco roll out of the bye?
It's a lot of points to be laying on the road, so I'm going to take the points here. I don't like to say one team wins, the other team covers. I think the Niners are the better football team when everybody's healthy, but we kind of have to see somebody play first before we declare them healthy, right? I'll take the points here, hold my nose to do it. I like the Niners to win the football game.
Tampa is 3-3 against the number as a dog this season. Mike Blewett, we appreciate the time. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you for being here on a Football Friday. We'll see you Sunday on NFL Football In Game Live Game Day. Hour number 3 of the Early Line. It's up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.